All right, so we're shifting gears just a little bit tonight from Ruth. We finished up Ruth chapter 1 and 2, and when they get back from their trip, they're going to cover chapters 3 and 4. But for I thought for tonight we would go over a particular psalm from the scripture, Psalm 34. And I really enjoy going through the psalms myself. I like reading the words of the psalms because what they are is prayers, and the psalms were written as prayers with melody. They were written with music and played with musical instruments. But at the heart of it, they are words of praise unto God. And sometimes when I'm having trouble finding the right words to pray to God, sometimes I go through the Psalms itself, and it helps guide my thoughts, and it helps redirect my heart, back toward to where it should be. The reason why I really enjoyed this particular psalm is because David here is finding himself between a rock in a hard place, and I want to explain to you what that looks like in a minute. But he's finding himself in a middle spot where he was given a promise to be king, but right now he's not exactly king just yet. He's being chased, and he's being chased by King Saul. And when King Saul finds him, King Saul vowed, he promised that he would kill him. And so he's finding himself in a really, really difficult situation between a rock and a hard place. And so the title of this psalm is A Psalm of David When He Pretended Madness Before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed, if you have that title in your Bible. Okay. So David here again is on the run. He's on the run from the king, and he went to the city of the Philistines in Gath, where he barely escaped his life. And you can read about this in 1 Samuel chapter 21. And so what's happening is, he doesn't know where to go. Everywhere he goes, he finds that Saul is pursuing him, and so he decides, I'm going to go to the enemy king in the Philistines and try to find a place with him there. And after that particular experience, he goes into a cave that's known as the Cave of Adullam, where a certain 400 men join him, all those who were indebted, all those that were depressed, all those that had financial problems, all those that had relational issues. They come and they surround David, and he becomes their leader. So he becomes a leader of this small, untrained army, if you will. And so it's from that particular place that David is beginning to speak the psalm. And it tells us that while he was there pretending madness before Abimelech, the king, that he was allowing his saliva to come down his beard, acting as if he was a crazy person. He was so much in turmoil in his heart. He was so in turmoil in his soul. He didn't know what to do or where to go. And so he thought, maybe if I play like I'm a crazy person, maybe they'll have a little bit of compassion on me and take me in. But you know what happened was, King Achish said, I don't want another crazy person in my kingdom. I don't need any more crazy people. Send him away. And so David is sent away from the presence of the king. And it's from this particular time, this particular season in David's life, that he begins to share these words where he says, I will bless the Lord, verses 1 and 2. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear of it and be glad. So again, this is one of the most challenging seasons in David's life. This is more challenging than the time where he faced Goliath. If you remember back when he faced Goliath, it was this little kid, this little boy, and this great big giant. And at that time, he had the support of just about everyone around him, and he felt the peace of God and the presence of God and the power of God over his life. And he used that stone and he sunk that stone into the giant's head, and the giant fell down. So he had a great victory. Here, he's facing a more, much, much more challenging time here, and he's in such distress. And so, but what David decides to do here is he reflects on God during this time when he says that God's praise will continually be in my mouth. I'm not going to just think about God's praises in my heart and keep it to myself. I'm going to declare something out loud. He's saying, my soul will make its boast in the Lord. He's saying, I'm not going to boast in myself. I'm not going to boast in my cleverness. I'm not going to boast in how popular I am. I'm not going to boast in anything. He's saying, I am boasting in God. I'm boasting in the person of God. I'm boasting in the character of God, in the promises of God. And this is really important. So here's a question that I can ask you guys tonight is why is it important to have a confession like that? What is the importance of my confession?
When you say confession in regards to boasting,
Where I'm declaring out loud what it is that I'm believing about God.
it's boasting the same.
Boasting is declaring something that you're really proud of. And what he's proud of here isn't himself, but he's proud of the fact that he belongs to God and that who God is himself. So what is the importance of my confession?
Go for it.
No, you were going to say, but Maria was going to speak.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, me?
Yes.
For me, the importance of repentance is to go back of the way of God. You know, when we sin or do wrong stuff, and then we repent, we just clear our conscience, first of all. And no, first of all, we confess to God and repent. And then I could be in peace with him and have a relationship, close relationship, because he knows my heart. He knows what I'm doing.
I'm so glad you mentioned that as far as the repentance part, because that's really, really important. But when we're talking about confession in itself, it's what is coming out of my mouth?
Declaration.
I'm declaring something. I'm proclaiming something. Not just the confession of repentance, which is critical. And thank you for reminding me about that, Edwin, because I have to repent. If I've sinned against God or walked away from God, I have to confess. But what's the importance of my declaration? What is it that's coming out of my mouth? Why is that so important?
Okay. I think once we repent, it also shows being humble. You know, because when I repent, that means that I'm accepting that I did something that is not right, or it's wrong, or out of anger, or out of the feelings. And it takes a lot to recognize and repent and ask for forgiveness as you repent. So just to be in his presence, because if not, it will hurt your prayers. It will not, if I don't confess, I feel like I'm not being sincere before him, even though he knows my heart. And that could affect the response that God has with me. Not that he's not going to forgive me, but I'm not making myself clear. I think it takes a wall in front of me and the communion with God.
Also, in addition to that, I think he kind of frees us from our fear prior to, I don't know. You know, the humbleness, it does make you more humble, and, or at least it opens my eyes. I can't explain it well, but yeah. Being able to repent, it kind of like takes this big weight off you. And it's like, okay, God, you know. One time, Dahlia told me, we were studying, and he came out, you know, fight this on your knees, of a situation that was going on. And at that moment, I felt like a huge weight came off me. And with the repenting, it humbleizes you, and I believe that the weight is taken off you, and God saying, it's okay, I'm going to take care of you, I'm going to walk you through this. I don't know, maybe I'm just not understanding it correct.
I think you, it's good what's being spoken, because we're talking about the confession of our repentance toward God, which is good. But I think there's two types of confession. One is repentance, and then another one is the confession of the word of God. When we can come in agreement with the word that is being spoken, and we declare that over our lives. And so here, David is making a declaration, and he's saying, I am going to boast in the Lord. I think one of the things that we can look at and ask ourselves, what does it really mean to say, I'm going to boast in the Lord? What does it mean to boast in the Lord?
Let's say something like making him, speaking it, how do I say, declaring to God what you are going to follow through. I guess I lost my train of thought there, but I see what you mean. Like, I see why they were saying confession, but when you,
it's good. Do you know when you're really proud of somebody? Like, you know, we're all parents here. Have you gone to a place where you can't talk enough about your child?
Yes.
Right. And you see all these great qualities about them that anyone, or you've seen a young parents, right? And they have like a album of pictures, mm-hmm, of their little children. So wherever they go, they, you know, they're ready to take this album to show all these pictures about their cute little kids, right? They're boasting. They're proud of their great, or their grandchildren, right? We get to a place where we feel the same about our own kids. And, you know, in the same way, we have this way about us where we are proud of our God. And we boast of his character. And we say of him how great and how wonderful he is. But, you know, like we said before, there is nothing that God tells us to do or we aim to do for God that doesn't come back for our own benefit, right? So when I'm boasting and I'm declaring and I'm saying the goodness of the Lord and I'm speaking out the goodness of the Lord, that is also a confession that we're making of his greatness, right? And mm-hmm, that takes a toll. That has an impact in our life when we do that. As we consider this, when we confess of God's goodness in our life, how does that impact us? Well, how does that change our life when we begin to declare of the goodness of God?
I think a different way to say the question is, what's the difference between a prayer that's prayed within your own heart versus a prayer that's prayed out loud? Or a promise that you think about in your own heart versus a promise that you declare out loud? Does that make a difference?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Because you get to hear yourself speak that over yourself and over other people. It's not just something that you're thinking about in your own thoughts, in your own heart, but you are declaring that out loud. And you're allowing your own ears to say, I'm making my boast in the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life with loving kindness and tender mercies, who crowns you, right? And so we begin to declare out loud, we begin to speak out loud the things that are already promised to us in scripture. And that's what David's doing here. He's making a out loud proclamation, declaration, confession of who God is in his life. That's very, very important.
May just put one thing in there. There is a verse in the Bible that says life and death is found in the power of the tongue. The things that you say, the things that you confess, you will live out. So how important is it that I need to align to the word of God, right? And begin to speak that over my life and my children's life and my home. Life and death
is found in the power of the tongue. And I get to make a decision. Am I going to agree with the word of God? Or am I going to come in agreement with the negative thoughts of the enemy that he, you know, sometimes plants in our hearts? Yeah, and we can agree with that. And you know what? In the agreement, there is power there. There is power in my agreement. So where do I choose to agree? And sometimes feelings kind of get stuck in the way. So am I going to be led by my feelings? Because sometimes I feel this way. I feel, you know, I feel tired. I feel beaten up. And the rest of it. I can, and it's easily done if I choose to be led in that direction. But God has given us the freedom as children of God to be able to take a stand with the word of God and to declare that. And as I do, things begin to happen. Life begins to happen in me. And the feelings that I struggle with when I do that, they tend to follow. Do you know what I mean? I don't have to be led by feelings. Feelings are important, but they can lead me astray if I let them. The idea is when I declare the word of God, despite how I feel, it might be hard at the beginning because I'm going opposite my feelings, right? But as I do that and I begin to declare and I begin to believe, no matter how long it takes, my feelings at the end will follow my confession, my declaration.
And David here is speaking to his 400 men, these followers of his, and he's saying, my soul will make its boast in the Lord. He's saying, I'm making a public declaration of who God is. And that's going to become very, very important because in a few short chapters, David's going to get to a place, a town, a territory called Ziklag. And there, the enemies, the Midianites, are going to come and attack the camp where David is. And they're going to take all the women and the children and all the goods. And the men who are with him are going to be so angry and so distraught, they're going to talk about picking up stones and killing David. So he's going to face more challenges in the future. But you know, the Bible says in that particular story, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. Wait, how do you do that? The powerful proclamation. I'm making a public declaration, a proclamation, a confession of who God is. The same God who brought me out of David and Goliath, the same God who brought me out of the problem with Saul, is the same God who's going to take me out of this particular scenario as well. And so this is how we can begin to lift ourselves up and declare these things out loud. Okay. Ever since he was a young shepherd boy, he was in the field singing the praises of God and making a declaration of who God is in his life. Again, he wasn't declaring about himself from his human perspective. He didn't keep his eyes on himself. He kept his eyes on the Lord where it should have been. Okay. And then he talks about the humble will hear of it and be glad. You know, it takes humility for us to take our eyes off of ourselves and to put them back onto the Lord, onto heaven. That takes training. You know, with every issue, big and small, we need to acknowledge the Lord. We need to acknowledge his presence in our lives. When there's a big thing happening, we invite him in. And in the smallest of details in our lives, we invite him in. I want him to be Lord over every area of my life. And then he tells us in verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord and he did what? He heard me. I just lost my place. Magnify the Lord, let us exalt his name. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. And so so David here is wanting to include others in praising God. And as a result, praise becomes our place of victory over the tactics of the enemy. When the enemy comes at me and he wants to bring anxiety into my life, insecurity into my life, confusion into my life, fear into my life, doubt into my life, depression into my life, lack of faith or faithfulness into my life, praise then becomes the place of victory where I can begin to overcome him. Why? Because it says God inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 22. God does what? He inhabits the praises of his people. when we begin to lift up a praise, it talks about putting on the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. What does God do? He wants to clothe us with a garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness, because he wants to lift that heaviness off of each of our lives. So to begin to praise and to magnify God, to magnify him, we make him bigger. Not that we can make God bigger. We can't make God any bigger. But to magnify God means to make him bigger than my problems. I can say, God, you are bigger than this obstacle that I'm facing now. You are stronger than this challenge that's facing me right now. And if I don't have any experiences in my own personal life of that just yet, I can look to the scriptures where I can say, hey, with these three Hebrew boys that were told, if you don't bow down and worship this great idol in this pagan land that you're living, you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And you know what they say? They say, we're not going to bow down or worship the idol. And if you want to throw us into the fiery furnace, throw us in. And our God is able to save us. But even if he doesn't save us, we're not going to worship this pagan idol. It says, and the king got so angry, he threw them into the fiery furnace. And then he looked over and then he realized, he says, did we not throw three men into the fire? I see four men walking in the midst of the fire. And the fourth man looks like the Son of God. What was happening there? The Lord Jesus was walking with them in the midst of the fire. Why? Because God is so much bigger than any of the challenges that we face. Amen. When Daniel was told that he would be thrown into the lion's den if he continued to pray three times a day like he did, and he says, you know what? I'm going to continue praying anyway. And they said, okay, we're going to take you and throw you into the lion's den. He says, do what you got to do. But my God is able to save. And you know what? The Lord sent angels to protect him there from the mouths of the lions. Or Paul, when he was in prison, it says at midnight, he and Silas began to lift up prayers unto God. You can read about this in Acts chapter 16. They began to lift up prayers unto God, and the prisoners were listening to them pray and worship the Lord. They were praising God. And as they did, the prison house was shaken and their bondages, their chains fell off, and they were free. So we can always make God bigger by saying, Lord, you are bigger than my situation. You are bigger than my challenge. You are bigger than my anxiety. You are bigger than my fear. You are bigger than my depression. You are bigger than whatever it is that we are facing in our life. We can say, God, you are so much bigger. And I choose to exalt you in the process. And as you begin to do that, you feel like that cloud, this heaviness, this darkness begins to lift, and the light of God and the peace of God and the power of God and the calmness of God will begin to flood into your life.
Yeah.
And so what David says in Psalm 34 is, I sought the Lord and he heard me. He heard me and did what? And he delivered me from all of my fears. David sought the Lord. He looked to him in loving, trusting God. Trusting God.
When you look at that word thought, one of the things that you can consider as we meditate on that is actually searching out for God, searching, pursuing, pressing into God. And in order to do that, it takes a level of tenacity. Someone who's not willing to give up or not a quitter. And you can see that in the life of the woman with the issue of blood. I love her story and I can relate to her in many ways. She had a need and she aimed to find an answer for how long? 12 years? 12 years. She's been seeking and searching for an answer. And everywhere that she went, she couldn't. But she heard about a man who was known as a healer, one who was recognized as person who had the answer, right? And I want you just to picture that with me for a second. We're standing in a crowd of people, and Jesus was surrounded by so many to a point that there's absolutely no way that anyone can get to him. And she could have very easily, as she was standing in the middle of this crowd, she could have very easily talked herself out of it. She's like, look, I'm so far away from him. And between me and him, there's like 100 people. So just forget it. Maybe I'll try another day. But this woman was adamant about what she wanted. She knew He had the answer. And what I'm going to do is press in, and I will not allow anything to stand between me and him until I get what I need from him, until I found what I'm searching for, what I'm asking God for. And and I love what it says. She's talking to herself and saying, even if I have to crawl, I'm going to get to him. And you see that she does that, you know. And if we wanted to look at this in a spiritual sense, how often are we bombarded with things that would cause me to look at it and say, there's no way that I'm going to be able to reach him. There's just so much going on. I've got fear. I have doubt. I've got all these circumstances that's happening in my life. God is here, and I'm here, and between me and him are all these issues. But the way that it took, the tenacity that it took, the woman with the issue of blood to press against these things, we are called to do the same. So here's what we're choosing to do. I'm going to press against fear and press against doubt. I'm going to press against every lie that I believed about him and anything that stands between me and him. And if I have to crawl, I'm going to crawl. And if all I can reach is the hem of his garment, so be it. Because I know once I reach him, I'm going to receive everything that I need from him. There's a verse that says, and those, it talks about Jesus, the healer, and it says, those that reached out, those that touched him were made well. Well, you know that we have that same capacity now. We, as we aim to reach Christ with our faith, we will be made well. Another person to consider is blind Bartimaeus. You saw there that in this story, there were so many, Jesus was coming along and still people are pursuing him as the healer. And he's like confused what's going on. And someone tells him, hey, Jesus, the healer is in town. So here's his one and only opportunity, thinking to himself, I might not ever get that chance again. So I'm going to make the best of it. Son of David, have mercy on me. He's crying out, Son of David. And they're like looking at him like, shh, quiet. Shh. Son of David, you know, and people are trying to hush him. People are trying to stop him. And he was like, I'm going to yell even louder. I'm going to cry louder. I'm going to yell. He's the answer. I've been born blind. You don't understand. I'm desperate to get a touch from him. I'm desperate to receive eyesight, you know, and I believe that, yes, there are many people that want physical eyesight, but how often do we need also spiritual eyesight? We need to see him spiritually in a whole new way. Well, our answer is to press in and not allow anything to hold me back from him. When I have that one opportunity and I know that he's in town, tenacious as I am, will not allow anything to stand in the way until I get to him. And then when I get to him, I'm going to fall at my face, at his feet, and wait to receive all that he has for me.
So God heard. God heard that heart. And that was David's heart. So God heard that with love and with sympathy and with action. God responded to him and he delivered him, it says, from his fears. Watch this. God didn't deliver David from the enemy Saul. He didn't deliver him from whatever other enemies he may have had. What he delivered David from was his fears. How? By giving him a different perspective. Saul was still there. His other challenges were still there. When he woke up the next day, those other problems were still there. But David now had a different perspective because now he was able to see that God is so much bigger. God is so much stronger. God can use this problem in my life to change me into his image, and he can do something in the lives of these other people at the same time. That's how magnificent God is. And so when he says that he delivered me from all of my fears, listen, the freedom doesn't happen when everything on the outside is taken care of. The freedom happens when I'm no longer struggling and paralyzed with something called fear. I'm living in freedom on the inside. The war is won on the inside first. And watch what it says next. It says, and they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. So David realizes that his experience is not alone, that many others need to also focus on the Lord. And as they look to him, they also will receive the help, because the more we can think about our Lord, the better for us. And it talks about being radiant, radiant. The way that Moses' face shined when he was up on the mountain speaking with God. And this is when he came down from the mountain, his face was glowing. His face was glowing. Do you know that when we have spent time with the Lord, our faces may not shine necessarily, although from time to time, we've heard that sometimes that happens. But yeah, the forehead. No, I'm not talking about your forehead, brother. That's a different story. What we're talking about is the glory of God that's coming off of a person's life. That's the anointing of God and the peace of God. Later on, the Apostle Paul would explain to us that same thought when he talks about from 2 Corinthians 3:18. He says, "And we, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." What does that mean? That means when I begin to look into his mirror and not my own, the longer I look into his mirror and not my own, I become changed into his image. The reason why Moses' face was bright when he came down, because he was looking into the face of the Lord. When you and I choose not to look into our own mirror, and what I mean by that is we're always looking at us and our problems. When I come to pray before God, I'm coming to talk to him about, okay, Lord, I'm struggling with A and B and C. I haven't seen the Lord. All I'm seeing is myself, and all I'm seeing is my problems. That's why it tells us to enter into his presence with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And that's why when the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray," he didn't say, "Okay, boys, come and pray. And the first thing you do is ask for confession. And then go ask for your list of requests." No. He said, "When you pray, pray this way: Our Father, who art in heaven." In other words, know who you're talking to first. Put him in his rightful place. And know that you are his child, that you have a direct line of communication. Hallowed be your name. Just simply means, God, you are holy. And the word holy means different. You are not like us. You don't struggle with sin. You don't struggle with darkness. You don't struggle with anything. You are holy. You are separate. You are other. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. In other words, I'm not looking at me first. I'm looking to God first. And I'm not praying for me first. I'm praying for his kingdom first. And then I can begin to ask him to forgive me and give my daily bread, and so on and so forth. So it comes from that particular perspective.
Yeah, put something in there.
Of course.
Okay. When I look at that verse, can you go back to it again?
Yes, ma'am.
There is a secret to that verse there. Where is it?
There.
Is it? They radiate?
Mm-hmm. They look to him and we're radiant.
Right there. So it says, they look to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. There is a secret word in that little sentence, and the word is trust there. Trust. And it kind of reminds me of the verse that says, "And those who put their trust in the Lord will never be put to shame." So how does my face radiate as I look unto God? Well, because there is a level of trust. I get to receive his glory and find the rest that I'm looking for because I trust in him. And as I do that, the word says, I'm never going to be put to shame. I think that's powerful. Meaning what? There is nothing that honors God most than a child of his that trusts him. And you can ask any father this question. What brings you more joy from your son or daughter? What would you say?
When they stop asking for money.
Okay, besides that.
When they choose to trust me.
When they have a level of trust.
When they take what I say at face value, yeah. And they just trust that.
And they have a level of trust in you that it brings you so much honor. So in the same way as we trust our Father, nothing brings him more honor than and I can almost hear him say, "That's my boy, that's my child. They trust me. They love me and they know who I am and what I'll do for them." And he's saying, "I promise you this, if you do, you'll never be put to shame." That means watch and see what I will do for you. And I just wanted to encourage you with that, to know that the secret of that statement, our faces radiate when we trust and we receive the promises of God. Never be put to shame when I put my trust in God.
Hey, you know what? We're usually stopping around 7:40 to ask questions or to have time of prayer. So maybe this would be a good place for us. I think we covered a lot, even though we didn't cover much of the chapter itself, but a lot of things were shared tonight about lifting up a word of praise to God in the face of difficult circumstances and focusing on Him first. And as we lift up words of praise and honor to God, it changes our perspective and it makes God bigger. Knowing that He'll take care of anything and everything in our life, and that what He wants to do first and foremost is deliver me from the fears that I'm grappling with. He wants to get those fears out of my life. He wants to get that anxiety out of my life. Why? So I can live a normal, balanced kind of life where I can enjoy God and enjoy His creation, which is number one, fellowship with Him and fellowship with other people. So if anyone has any questions along those, I didn't prepare any questions other than the first one that I asked earlier. So if anyone has any questions or prayer requests or thoughts, now would be a great time for us to go over those. Take yourself off mute and.
I have a little thought. When you ask the question to confess God, because of my background of being Catholic many, many years ago, the word confession, it goes right into guiltiness. Right into say, oh, I'm bad, I'm confess, you know, mm-hmm. It's linked to that thing, the wrong things doing it. But now I say, oh, confession is only not that. Confession is to proclaim, like you said, to let it out. So that's why I was thinking, oh man, when I hear the word confession, it's because it's the wrong doing it, and I have to confess to be clean, you know. That's the old mind of being Catholic for many years, but it's the best. That's why it came up. I said, oh, for now on, I'm going to say, it's not the same. Right. It's at the same levels as a proclaim to let it out and glorify.
You know, it's kind of like, Edwin, when you are thinking nice thoughts about Soraya, She doesn't want you to just think nice thoughts. She wants to hear you speak it out loud. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. when you've eaten a nice meal, and you're happy,
I have to confess.
You don't just smile and walk away. You say to her, "That was a delicious meal. Thank you," or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you got it. Yeah. You have to confess that.
That's a confession. So it's good for us when we're praying and talking to God, not just to always internalize, but to make a confession, because I need to hear with my own ears what my mouth is declaring.
Yeah.
Well, it's amazing, because as you were speaking, Pastor Al, once after I spoke what I said about confessing and asking for forgiveness, and you said something, I had the same thought that my husband did. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
And then I told him, oh, wow, it's proclaiming, it's saying the goodness of God. Right away, I went to the guilty part, like my husband said. I'm like, oh, I need to confess that I blah, blah, did this or that. But thank you for teaching us and letting us learn that it's about Him. And also, I was thinking, you did two things that make me go, wow. That was one, proclaiming His goodness and whom He is. And He's the King of Kings and the Provider and all the good things that He is, not the bad things that I'm doing or I'm not doing. And another thing that make it clear, it's not on the wing. I went blank, but
okay.
I forgot what I was going to say.
It'll come back to you.
Yeah. Something he said that I was like, wow, I need to.
When you shine your face.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing that it shows. Yeah, when it I'm shows. Hungry, when I'm sad, when I reflect that, and you could tell me that I'm upset or whatever, and but now knowing that I'm in the Word of God, I could feel, not in my face, but I could feel in my fear how it's gone, or my anything. My feelings changed without me realizing. And then at the end of what I'm doing, I realize, I'm like, wow, I did change, you know. So it's amazing how the Lord does little things that I don't sit down and think until you mention it. I'm like, wow. And it reminded me of when I was in fear for whatever reason. And then I was in the Word and in His presence, and I walked away without that. But I never took the time to thank Him and realize that that has happened.
It's a marker. That's a marker for your life, and something that you should journal someplace so you can remember it, because we tend to forget, you know. And you can always go back and say, the Lord did this for me, and I'm going to praise Him for it. And then the same God who protected me then is the same God who's going to protect me moving forward in the future. Are we freezing? Are you freezing? One of us is freezing.
No.
Maybe us.
Can you guys hear us now?
No. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we could hear you.
Okay. One of us was freezing up. I wasn't sure if it was us or what.
Maybe it was Sandra, maybe. Okay. Yeah, Sandra is freezing.
Yeah.
Maria?
No, I was, it's me.
Okay. Raul.
Yeah, I just noticed how you brought up Moses and, David for the first, what we were talking about when they became like beacons, where he had, David had 400 people, you know, that he has to somehow, I guess he had to go through some levels to get where he was. So God gave him up, where God is on him, you know, helping him and getting these 400 people to trust in him is kind of like, whoa, you know? He's walking underneath the hand of the shadow of his hand on him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Moses. When he went up in the hill, the mountain, and he came down and he had all these people doing their thing, and somehow, it's kind of, I'm getting ahead of myself, where he brought him from Egypt all the way to him, trusting with what he was saying, you know. Which, that was cool. I understood what you guys meant by that, you know. You got your work cut out for me. I got the work cut out to get to that point where I speak to somebody, they trust what I'm saying. It's coming from way inside, and God's there.
Yeah.
And God wants us to trust what He's saying to us, and we call that faith.
Yeah, so, that is so cool.
That's awesome, Raul. Thanks for sharing, man.
I understood what you meant.
Very cool.
Being beacons, like, whoa, that's a beacon. That's a beacon. That is so awesome.
It looked like you had something. Did you want to share anything? You are Marcelo? Yeah, they're freezing.
I don't know.
Oh, there we go.
Seems like they're frozen. If the Moncas are trying to say something, I can't hear you because you're on mute.
Oh, I think she's frozen. Unmute, Sandra.
Yeah, she's frozen. It's not coming.
Yeah.
That's okay. You can just log out and log back in. It usually works that way. You know what I challenge you to do, though, as she's trying to figure out her thing, is go back and read Psalm 34 slowly, you know, and make that a meditation, make that a prayer of your own heart, you know, that all those who looked to him were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. And this poor man cried out and the Lord delivered him from all of his fears. It's just so important. It's just so, so important for us to get our focus and our fix, our eyes fixed directly on the Lord and what he's saying to us, and to begin to declare what he's spoken over us. You know, he's called us his chosen people. He's called us overcomers. He's called us, his okay. his precious beloved. He has so many different names for us that are just so kind and gracious and compassionate, you know, that we need to apply to ourselves, because the world takes a lot of time to tell us how bad of a job we're doing and how we don't measure up. And so we can sometimes tell ourselves that same thing, but God's word tells us something completely different, you know, that we are his chosen, that we are his beloved. He even tells the wayward nation of Israel, he says, you are like a dove. You are pure and clean in my eyes. And you think to yourself, a dove? Israel? Really? They messed up so much. Yeah, but he's not looking at every single action that they've taken or not taken. He's looking at them through the blood of Christ. He's looking at them through the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice. And so when we begin to look at ourselves from that perspective, we get to say, okay, I can now live from a different place. I can now begin to think from a different place. I can begin to experience from a different place. Anyway, enough preaching for me. But if you guys have any thoughts or any prayers, by the way, we need to pray for Pastor Mike and his dad. His dad's in the hospital. So we need to keep him and his family in prayer, please. Are we good? Doesn't look like doesn't look like Sandra's coming back on. So, yeah, yeah. Pastor Edwin, would you please pray for us? And please don't forget Pastor Mike's dad.
Yeah. Yeah, first of all, I want to give you praise and glory to you, God, that your presence and this place and this meeting, Lord, that is, we could feel the presence, Lord. And I thank you for the teachings that you're giving us tonight, to allow us to get into our hearts the word that you proclaim it to us. And I ask you, Lord, for interceding over my brother Mike's dad that is in the hospital, Lord. You know what's going on exactly, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, to give Mike the peace that he needs, give him comfort, and increase his faith that you are in control of the situations. No matter what's going on, we know we trust that your plan is better than our plans, and always you're going to keep us in your hands. And I trust and believe that it will be okay, that he will come out from that situation, and all the glory will be going to you, the only one. And I ask you, Lord, for blessings over the youth that is in retreat, bringing back safe and robust in your word, and for them to return with a lot of knowledge and a lot of more faith to increase your kingdom, Lord. And I ask you for more blessings over our families, the ones that are here and the ones that are not here, the members of the church that are in need of anything. You know exactly what's going on, and every one of us, Lord. So I give you, Lord, all the praise for knowing that you hear us, that we are in your presence through Jesus Christ, who came to earth and redeem us and give us the route to be with you. And I ask you, Lord, for blessings over everyone of us, and let us have a good rest of the night. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen.
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 Amen. Well, thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a blessed evening.
Yes. Thank you.
Next Wednesday, we'll look at chapter 3 of the book of Ruth.
All right.
Thank you all. Have a good evening.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.